Amen. Praise God. We know we have to start off with a little thanks song. It goes like this. Thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul's at rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, Lord, we give you thanks. Come on, let's sing that. We're going to say, we give you thanks. Thanks.
My old friends think I'm crazy.
And we give you thanks.
The new friends are not sure.
For all you've done.
The Lord told
me,
I'm
your friend. We are so blessed. Our soul's at rest. Oh, Lord. We give you thanks, oh, Lord, we give you thanks. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we want to be in a spirit of thankfulness as we go forward in the Lord. How many had a chance to go to do any shopping or part of Black Friday? You went out. How many are, like, hearing music on the radios and stuff like that in the malls? You know, I'm sure you guys, is that correct? You know, when you go to the malls, you hear songs, amen. You guys probably hear this song. I've kind of changed the version of it. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, and Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows some turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright, and tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Jesus is on his way. He's loaded lots of gifts and salvation on his sleigh. And every mother's child is going to spy
to you and
to see if Jesus is really coming by. And so I'm offering this simple phrase
to
kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways. Merry Christmas. I said, Merry Christmas.
I don't know. I'd be totally sort of overtaken by it. But I believe that.
Amen. So I don't think, you know, when we get to heaven or Jack
really
or Bing Crosby or. Who else sings that song? Nat King Cole. Really, everybody's singing that song, but I don't think they would mind if I kind of changed the versions and put in Christ. And I don't think they'll mind. Amen. Can I get an amen to everybody?
And see what God wants me to do.
Amen. Because Jesus is the reason for the season.
I've never done that before.
And how many know that Jesus is the reason for the season?
Because
and we can be, as Christians, we can say that in a cliched way at times. But it never, it's just like a certain song. It's just like a certain place,
and
certain people. I mean, we should never take for granted
in a way,
that he is the reason
exciting.
For the season. I think our minds need to be adjusted, our spirits, our hearts need to be adjusted of who he is.
Because
we can get so caught up in everything else that's around us that we forget really who he is.
So,
and that's why we sing thanks, and that's why we focus in on him. So thank you for having me today.
How wonderful you all
and,
are.
And I know Greg wouldn't mind. Greg says I'm becoming a regular around here. What happened? Is something wrong? Did I get mad at my church? Is that all right? No, but anyway, we just thank God that pastors allowing me to come. Again, it's like a date,
and,
you know, a first date, second date.
I called my
and so I'm thankful, and I told him, hey, this is used to be my whole hangout back in the day.
I called her, and she said, how are you doing?
And,
I said,
so just,
I got toothache. Two of my teeth were aching. And she said, you're having sympathy pains. I never heard of that
Lord
before. But I had toothache. I never had toothache, but I was concerned about my wife.
Sunday mornings, I would get the paper in.
I think that's what we have.
Put in my inserts.
How many people? When we don't minister have to one another, as we get that sympathy pain, we can understand.
Amen, people don't read the paper
that.
Anymore. But we
so we'll just receive this blessing.
In our inserts, and, you know, I'm still doing that.
Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Lord, over the last 3 years, Father, you called us here in many ways that feel like Johnny Appleseed.
Otherwise, I would drag her over here.
Father, the seeds that you planted here.
I get tired of hearing Daddy. You know, I'm just playing. But
to our friendship,
just Daddy
with our friends
with
here.
So thank you for having
even
me today.
As Pastor,
can you turn your Bibles
Reggie spoke
to
about Toby and the new generation?
Isaiah chapter 7.
New generation coming.
Isaiah chapter 7.
There's a new generation coming.
Title of my message today: Am I the sign?
Your
I am the sign.
To be friends of the generation.
I am the sign.
Of their children and to their parents.
I mean, no, you are the sign.
So the Lord is preparing
somebody
you.
Somebody
has been
life.
Preparing you. As this new season comes upon us, you're going to start thinking things differently.
Even
as
we
spoke last week about the Lord gave us the
Christ consciousness,
the mind of Christ.
You know,
and everything is going to be changed. We're going to make different decisions. You'll make different decisions. But you're going to find peace in those decisions. You're going to see the light.
I mean, it's like, how many have seen a call sheet before?
For a long period of time. But the Lord has shined His light.
Sometimes people
He's called you together. He's made you stronger.
What takes place?
He's indeed humbled you.
It's like making a great meal.
He's given you a gift of faith. He's given you a gift of courage.
You know, I want
you to persevere because you have His blessing. So just receive His blessing. Receive His healing. Receive His friendship and His relationship.
The call time.
Receive every
good
thing.
All these things are a part of a call sheet, and I want to look.
Every good
thing. I want you to, in your mind, to think you're.
He loves you,
right,
and He's
going to
take care
of you. What role are you going to play?
He's prepared a way for you.
We know Jesus is the star of the movie of this pilot series today called.
Amen. So now we're going to celebrate. That's the end of all of these. We got to celebrate fellowship.
But before
we
get to the reading of
the
script, like in the call sheet, they call it the script. They get it. They copy God. It's short for scriptures. The script.
We can call worship here.
And all the actors do is they read their script. That they've learned. All Christians are called to learn their script and act it in front of the world and play the role of Jesus Christ. We're His double, we're His stand-in. But before we get started, I want you to recognize on the call sheet, I when I get a call sheet or seen these call sheets, I know the main actor that's going to play the star, but I get a chance to see the different actors, the cast, the characters. Before we get to Isaiah 7, in this cast, in this movie, you have King Uzziah in chapter 6. You have Isaiah in chapter 6. And then you're going to get King Ahaz over in chapter 7. And Isaiah's kids. And over in Matthew 1, we'll go over there in closing. You're going to get Joseph. You're going to get Mary. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. But I want you to think about these different actors. Because let's just say your costume department is over here. And we all have to come on and put our... You're the cast, and what character are you going to play in this pilot series today in our 30 or so minutes that we have? You know, that's all a TV show may last 30 minutes, so this is the pilot right here. And so the Bible talks about in the year that King Uzziah died, just a little background on the call sheet, a little background. King Uzziah has been the king, and he's getting ready to go off the scene. He died, actually. Death means separation. Death. We're in a period of transition right now. How many of you recognize you're in a period of transition? We're all in transition, amen. A lot of times death just means separation. Transition from something to something else. So the scripture says in the year that King Uzziah died, then you have this other character. Maybe you're being separated from something now. Death is not for a Christian. The Bible says Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth in me, whoever believeth me shall never die. And so death is not, it's not for a Christian, supposedly, it's just a transition. Uzziah served his time as a good king. He lived godly in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Even though when he went off the scene, he had leprosy. So a lot of times, you know, I don't want to go off the scene having leprosy, amen? I don't want to go off the scene myself being a bitter old man. Come on now. I don't want to go off the scene. I want to run my race, amen, and all the way with joy, all the way to the fullest. I recognize that man, that life can hit you, family, kids. I'm talking about my life. Amen. Life, I know life will either make you bitter or better. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I can choose to be bitter about situations, or I can choose to be better. Isaiah, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, or transition happened, he saw the Lord. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people. How many can relate with Isaiah? I know none of you can relate, but we can have unclean lips. And let's say, I know some of you are too goody-goody two-shoes out there. You may have never cursed in your life. But unclean lips can come from complaining all the time. Unclean lips can come from a lot of variations of not praising the Lord, or not using our language, our Holy Spirit language, to praise Him in the midst of situations. So how many can relate to that character? We can relate to Uzziah's character, that we're all in transition and we don't know what the future is going to behold, and we hope it's better. And so we can relate to Isaiah's role. And so I'm just building up to our scripture to where, because we're in a show right now, and we're all playing different roles. But God came and did and cleansed Isaiah's mouth to prepare him. See, God wants to come and cleanse his people's mouths. He took a coal from the altar. The angel came and began to wash his mouth out with soap. And here Isaiah was, you're talking about the greatest prophet of Israel. If he had unclean lips, what does that do for you and I? I know none of you guys can relate with that. But to prepare him for something, to prepare him for his next assignment, his prophetic ministry. Amen? And if you look, let's look at the bottom of 13, Isaiah 6:13. It says, but yet a tenth will be in it, and it will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. See, what we're talking about today is all about the seed, all about the holy seed. God is all about seed. God is all about preserving the holy seed all the way through history. Would it have been in Genesis 3, when we talk about the prophecy in Genesis 3:15, or the seed in that day, all the way until Christ comes? It's all about the seed being preserved, that holy seed. And the job of the enemy is to come and make it an unholy seed. Come on now. Eliminate the seed, the messianic seed. And if you read Malachi, God, did you know God has ulterior motives? God had ulterior motives when he invented sex. He said that I wanted to bring two people together so that they can have sex as a couple. Read Malachi 2 when you get a chance. That they might produce a godly seed. That was always been his plan. To bring this thing together so a seed, a holy seed, would be birthed. That's God's plan, isn't it? Okay, so that's just a little background in the call sheet, and we want to get over to, let's look at Isaiah chapter 7, starting at verse 9. It says, the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramali's son. And it says, if you will not believe, I want everybody to say that right now, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourselves from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So that verse 9 says, if you will not believe, you will not be established. You know, God wants us to believe. You know, if you go all the way back to Abraham, God always gave Abraham a certain promise that it was almost impossible to believe. When we go back to Abraham, the first place in the Bible where you where it mentions to believe. Abraham. And here's this older man who's going to has no heir. And God says, I want you, an heir is going to come out of you, and out of that heir is going to be many nations. And yet Abraham didn't even know if he can have a child. Sarah laughed, amen, about the promise. How many know a lot of times when God gives you a promise, it's something that is an impossible. And then God has the audacity to ask you to believe. How many are in a certain situation right now where God wants you to believe in something? David said in Psalms 27, he would have lost heart. He would have fainted unless he believed that he was going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He was getting ready to lose heart. How many feel sometimes the scripture says, "You will, if we don't faint, you shall reap a bountiful harvest." And so God wants you and I to believe. How many are in the midst of something to where you believe? I remember when God had called me into ministry as a young man. I mean, back in the day, man, I can't believe I'm standing up before you talking right now. I was so shy. God, you want me to go into the ministry? Stand up before people? That's impossible, God. You know what I'm talking about, Pastor? That's impossible. I'm shy. You know, and then he tells me, "I want you to be. I want to use you with young people." And so you know, I want God, you know, in a series of things, and just put myself in a position. Now, I don't believe this. I don't believe it, but God spoke it over my life. You know, and he could start connecting me with men of God like these men right here. You know, I mean. You're out there. Before I was out there, my friends were in the world, you know. And then all of a sudden, I get saved, and he brings me in the house of God, and I start meeting the Pastor Josephs and Roberts. Amen? And he connects you with people, and I go on events and travel with them and be mentored by them. And I get in school, and God helps me get through Bible college, you know. He helps me graduate And then here I am one day doing youth ministry on a high school campus. The way I got into the campus one day, back in the day where it was definitely church and state back then, Griff, couldn't get on campus. So I go on the campus one day with my pastor, and we go to the principal's office, and we ask him, "We want to serve your campus." That's how we came. We want to be servants. We don't want to come and, you know, preach and do all this thing. And, you know, we want to come and just serve your young people. And he said, "We need religion." The pastor, he's smoking a cigar in his office, the principal. We need religion on campus. And I started off picking up trash on the campus. And through that, a door was opened to me with a Christian woman who taught math in the room. And they had and then through that, they allowed me to have a club on the campus called Champions of Agape. Champions of Agape. And I was able to bring and invite other speakers on the campus, and there were high school assemblies, and I see a person come to the Lord. I see one of the biggest drug dealers in the city. I have a chance to minister to his nephew, amen. I know this one girl, and I was just thinking about this as I was preparing for a message. She would come to the room. She found peace and safety. Guys would be trying to take her home at lunchtime to have sex with her. Are you listening to me? She found a place of refuge. A youth ministry right there on the high school campus. I had a chance to invite athletes and famous athletes that came along. Rosie Greer came. Some of you might have known Rosie Greer. Storm Davis, Mike Davis, other gang members who got saved. Ministry began to take place on campus. But when we go all the way back to the word I got over my life, "Reggie, I want you to do ministry." Who, me, God? I can't even stand before people. So God wants us to believe and receive. So no matter what, at this time, Isaiah was going through it. Ephraim, it was civil war going on. There's other kings that are coming against them. It was just like Jesus' day when he was going to the cross. It says that day, Pilate and Herod were enemies. They became friends just to come against Jesus. Have you ever had that happen? A coalition of people will come against you. They're enemies, but they come against you to fight you. This is what Isaiah has going on. Ephraim, who was doubly fruitful, who was one of the greatest tribes who represents the north, they're backslidden all the way back. And, you know, they're to the point where even God, if you read in the word, it says, leave Ephraim alone because he has joined himself to idols. They turned their back on the day of battle. Judah was supposed to be the only place, amen, that would say, we're going to serve the Lord. How many know that Judah means praise? God needs still some praising people on the earth right now. No matter what's going on, no matter what situations are happening, no matter what's happening in your family or in your life or in your neighborhood or in this world right now, God needs some people who are going to come, who are going to praise him. Amen? Because you are that sign, remember. You are that sign. Don't look for another sign in the show right now. You are that sign. So we have to clear our paradigms and stop looking for something else somewhere over the rainbow. What's going to happen? No, the kingdom of God. The Pharisees were looking for some type of observation, demonstration, it said over in Luke. And the kingdom of God is in your heart. So you need to look. We need to be looking at the timetable of the kingdom of God. And in the timetable of the kingdom of God right now, God is getting ready to do some fulfillments. God is getting ready to release some miracle, some sign, wonders, and miracles. And you are that sign. Amen. Everybody out in the world is looking for signs. Remember, what's your sign? They're looking for, at the stars, the horoscope. But the stars and the horoscope are looking for you. The Bible says that all of creation, that means the stars that everybody look for purpose from. All of creation is waiting for the manifestation of God's people right now. They're waiting for you to give them direction. They're waiting for you to be a shining star. No matter who you are, shining bright to see who you can truly be. Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. They're looking to you right now. So if they're looking to you, that means God, the director of this series, is going to have to do something spectacular in your life right now. So God is looking for heirs right now. God is, you know, Ahaz, who this prophecy was directed to, God says, all you have to believe, man, you just believe. Because his name means to grasp. Ahaz's name means to grasp, to understand, to possess, to own. How many know that God wants to, we're co-owners with Christ Jesus. If we've gone through the process with Jesus, we're getting ready to be glorified with Jesus. We're getting ready to come into something, a wonderful inheritance with Jesus. How many want to be a part of that? You've said you've gone through the process or you're being a process right now. But God wants to bring you out on the other side. Ahaz, as we see, did not want to go through the process. Why? It says, I will not test the Lord. He got religious. A lot of times you and I can get religious on God. God is coming to you and I right now. And he says, ask for a sign. Now, I know in the New Testament it says, these signs follow those that believe. How many believers we got here? See, the script is flipped in the New. Do a pun on words. We're talking about the script and not believing. But the script is flipped in the New. It says, these signs follow them that believe. And so what sign is going to follow you as you're walking with Jesus right now? What sign? I want you to think about that right now. I want you to think about God. You know where I am in my life right now. You know that you called me to follow you. That's the ultimate thing that God wants us to do. He told Peter, don't worry about what I'm doing with John. You just follow me. Peter was trying to figure out, well, what about him? Because God, Jesus revealed to him what type of death he was going to have. He said, what about that guy over there? He said, don't worry about him. You just follow me. And that's what the Lord is saying to you and I right now. We look to the goal. I was at a basketball game yesterday. My son was playing. He made the varsity. Amen. He's a freshman, and he made the varsity team. And, you know, proud dad and everything. And, you know, and I was sharing with one of the guys that was playing at the game. I gave him a parable of the basketball court. I said, Jesus, that's the goal right there, pointing to the basketball. I said, the goal, if you go back to your high school, same goal there. The goal's yes, the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same court, unless they build a new gym there or something, Greg. Maybe your gym. And then faith is taking the ball and just shooting toward the goal. And you and I have to, if you're going to play the game in the, with the rules, see, the problem with the world, they don't see the goal. To play the game as an athlete, you have to know the rules. Here's the football. Raiders play Denver today. Football, here's the line. You have to know the rules. Baseball, you have to, there's first base. Basketball, though, what we're talking about, how can you play the game if you don't see the goal? Many people in the world, amen, have not even seen Jesus yet. And the way you get to see him is first you got to repent of your sins. He gives you those 3D glasses now, and he takes away the veil so you can see him. Basically, you see that side of him as the God of forgiveness. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have seen that side of Jesus, the God that has forgiven you of your sins? That just gets you entry level into the company. But people haven't seen that yet, so they can't play. But once you see the goal, you start by faith trying to make shots. And sin is an archer's term. It just means to miss. So when you shoot the ball, you're missing, but you already won. So just keep shooting. You guys, did you catch that? It's by faith you just keep shooting. And every day we're going to miss. A just man falls 7 times, but you get right back up, ready to shoot again. The book already says we won. So you can take a risk in life every day and try to shoot toward Jesus. And the fans and the world and sin and our and the flesh are going to try to distract you from trying to make the basket. Amen. So what's your sign? What's your sign? I mentioned this before. I think I mentioned it one of the times I was here before, but I was seen a guy in Castro Valley. My son and his team practiced at a place in Castro Valley and gym there, and they have a cafe right there. And I was in there this past week, and a guy reminded me, this guy I went to college with, that when I was in college, and this goes to show that even when you're not doing right, I'm still not doing right. What I'm trying to do right now. You understand what I'm saying? But it's just something about, what's that, what did he say?
Good, thank you.
But I always had it in my DNA to share the gospel. Even I was at a party or out drinking or at a club, I couldn't help it, Greg. It was like, you know, feels. But I was sharing the gospel with this guy. He reminded me back in college. Now, this is the story. Don't mess it up, Reggie. I remember this was 1997. I was down in West Oakland with my wife. We were working for an organization called World Impact. The guy the night before, he said 20 years from that time, 20 years, he had walked away from God. He had a death in the family. He had something else happen with a friend. He was running from God. He happened to be at a church in San Ramon the day before. And a guy who was our director at World Impact was there speaking to the congregation. And he invited people to come down and volunteer and come and paint and do all these different things down at where we were working down in West Oakland. He said that night he asked the Lord, God, can you put somebody, there's 50 people who came and shared Jesus with him over a period of all these years. And he could only remember 2 people's names. And one of them was my name. And another girl, Chinese girl. Out of all these people, he could remember her name and my name over this period. He said, Lord, put these people back in my life. Because he hadn't given his life to Jesus at that point, but he was getting ready to step over that line at this time. He said, put somebody back in my life who I can just thank. The next day, time and chance happened. He was up on a ladder doing something at the house. They're working at World Impact. And here I enter in. The next day. Now, he told me that I was a sign. I was the sign for him. I was the catalyst for him. And since then, there have been many signs. But I was that sign for him to be that catalyst to get him back. God. He's sharing this story with me. So what's your sign? What's your sign? You know, God wants us, these signs are going to follow us, okay? God wants us to recognize, you know, that once we get a sign, again, one other story. I'm preaching 15 years ago at an African-American conference, African-American Reconciliation Conference. And we have our African friends who come from Africa here in Oakland. We had been in Africa that year, and then later in the year, we have it. And I'm preaching this message. Can you imagine that? I'm preaching on Isaiah 7. And after, it's about this many people, probably a little bit more people in the audience at that time. This was not the main sermon. It was more like a workshop type. And a lady comes up and takes the mic and gives a prophetic word and said, three babies are going to be born in a period of 9 months that are going to be the sign for this conference that God is making a covenant. Because remember, this was all about African Americans and Africans, and we're reconciling with one another of what happened in slavery. Of the part that the tribal chiefs and they had in selling us out. They wanted to forgive us. So she comes up and says, there's going to be three babies that are born in 9 months. Y'all better get busy tonight. And come and behold, there was two pastors from Africa. They had sons in Africa in 9 months. And then me and my wife, our son, who's playing varsity basketball now, that was the sign. There were three babies born in that. God cementing and covenanting with this whole reconciliation conference. So what's your sign? What does God need to do in your life right now? What does God need to do in my life so we can hold this prophetic ground? So because there's a trial of our faith. There's something on this journey. There's opposition. There's so many different things. And God wants to do great things in our life. Can you turn over over to Matthew? We're going to read Matthew 1:18. But I believe God wants to release some miracles in your life today. He wants to do some wonderful things. And we have to remember, didn't have the time, but we have to remember that the signs, a lot of times, Isaiah had a child that he brought to King Ahaz. Okay, because Isaiah's name means Jesus saved, God, Jehovah saves. So we need to know what our names mean. Come on. How many know that the answer to your problem can be sitting right next to you? Well, I mean, in the natural, if you need to go to the Wells Fargo, this guy, if you don't know who Scott is, Scott can fix you up. Greg can fix you up. Pastor can fix if you don't know what they do. Is that right? If a doctor's sitting next to us and somebody falls out, well, we're going to turn that over to the doctor. But a lot of times, we don't know what one another's assignment or what God has spoken over that person's lives. When Isaiah when he came over to King Ahaz, he brought his little son. And his son's name meant a remnant shall return. So the king was worried about this, about disaster coming, but his son was next to him saying, "Hey, this guy, was it Toby who's playing? When I saw you, I thought about, hey, the future of the church is all right by seeing you play up there. That's what came to me. The future, because look, you're up there playing, praise, and part of the worship, and the future of the next generation of the church, I identified with you. I speak that prophetically. God's going to do something great in your life. Amen. This is just the new beginning of a new sound that God is getting ready to do in your life. Amen. Even through this church, God is going to do great things through this church. Amen. But because you're that sign. Did anybody catch? Did anybody catch the sign? Oh, where was it? Okay, but he was up here. Was he up here? Okay, well, I'm speaking it over you guys to tell him. Amen. So we see, look at Matthew 1, 18 through 25. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, we got a Joseph in the house right here, don't we? Before they came together, we're talking about the fulfillment now, everybody. God has been waiting for a long time for fulfillment. How many fathers have been waiting for your child to be birthed? Amen. Let's give Toby a hand, everybody. Amen. Lord, let's just pray. Father, I pray for Toby right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for Toby. Lord God, that represents, Lord God, just like we're talking about signs, Lord. You said these signs shall follow them, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that he's a sign to us. Lord, we thank you for the impartation of your spirit that's in him, Father, and that, Lord, you're going to keep him. You're going to protect him, Father. No weapon formed against him is going to prosper. Increase, Lord, him as a minstrel. Increase his ability to hear from you, Lord God. Lord, increase, Lord, even the days, Lord, to prophetic in his life, Father. Lord, that he'll go forth, Lord God, and play unto you, Father. Lord, he'll play a new sound to his generation, Lord God. Not just minstrel, Lord God, but with the words you deposit in his spirit and the dreams that you'll give him, Father. Thank you for him. And we're family members. We're fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, Lord, and we'll be careful to help raise him for your kingdom purposes in the days to come. We set him apart for you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, verse 19, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, and behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and he did not know her. Look at that now. He did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now you see what God has done to the extreme to protect his seed. Come on, this is the fulfillment of it now. This is the chosen sign. How many wanted to play the role of Joseph? You find out your wife's pregnant now. Okay, come on now. Now, a lot of times people talk about Mary, and because all this is, folks, is anytime you have a pioneer, how many of you know pioneers? You read story about great business people and engineers, and the first one, even like a Jackie Robinson story in the African-American community, the first example is always the extreme example. I mean, Mary, what happened in Mary, the Holy Spirit in her, is a type of how every Christian is born. We're not born of the flesh, because a lot of times people talk about religion, I'm a Christian. But has God's Spirit, have you been born from above? Has the Holy Spirit come into your life? That's what separates God's children from the world's children. You can say all you want that God's my father or that's my daddy, but when you take the DNA test and the Holy Spirit is not, the Spirit of God is not in you, you haven't been born again yet. Amen? That thing that was born in her was of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't of man. It wasn't of the will of a man. But it was of God. And that's the same thing that happens to every believer that comes to Jesus. Christianity is not man-made, folks. As good as intentions that people are trying to have, if the Spirit of God is not in you. And so we see right here, in just in a few minutes of closing, that Joseph had to decide, am I going to leave? And we're not just talking about in a marriage relationship. We're talking about in a ministry relationship or in family or friend relationship. We need to know if the Holy God has his Holy Spirit or wants to put his Holy Spirit in people. Amen. So that we can, Joseph, the angel, the spirit, the dream he had to come in and let him know. Joseph, he had to think about it because he had the right to for a bill of divorcement. He had the right to do a lot of things. She could have been stoned. There was a lot of things. But Joseph, God came to Joseph. He began to think on before he made a decision. And before we go into 2018, there's some dilemmas, there's some circumstances, there's some situations in your life. You be like Joseph before you make a move that's going to cut off a relationship or that's going to cut off a ministry, that's going to cut off future thing, and let the Lord download into you. Because God is about the next big thing. The next big thing, and I got an acronym for that. Buy into God. Buy into God and what he's getting ready to do next. Because when anything, a pioneering thing happens, I was reading something in closing, then we'll pray. That it's like even Netflix. I'll think about how many people know that Netflix was not even thought of years ago. What was the main name out there? It was, where do we go get our DVDs? Blockbusters. How many used to go to Blockbusters back in the day? I mean, it was Blockbusters. Then all of a sudden, guy got an idea to do these things online. Nobody was doing it. Amen? See, what God's getting ready to do or what he's already done, nobody does it or can do it. It's the finger of God. And I want to be a part of it. Yeah, in the process of going through it, you're going to be ignored. That's what the pioneers, if you look at them, you're ignored, you're laughed at, then you're fought against, but then you finally win. If you read the scenario of all these pioneers, people who started businesses, CEOs, Fortune 500 people, jobs, and the litany of, and it goes on, God, Christianity has been laughed at. Even Sarah laughed at it when God told her you were going to have a baby. How can this be? I'm a 90-year-old woman. But then, in the fulfillment of time, it came. And so I'm praying that in your situation, I want to pray for Pastor Robert right now. I just feel led to pray for you. Can I pray right now? Yeah. Amen. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Robert and his wife, Marcia, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, you, Lord, even in I could just see, Lord, like Zachariah and Elizabeth. Lord, I could just see, Lord, that you called them to birth something. No, they're not going to birth a baby. But you called them to birth something, Lord, in their lives, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord God, that they don't get weary in well-doing, that they don't worry about the future, Lord God. Because, Lord, the best is yet to come in their lives, Lord. You're tailor-mating and making up circumstances and situations to tailor-make, Lord God, a situation for them and to establish them, Lord. So we thank you, Father, Lord, for the fruit that's going to come from their lives, Father, and that they don't have to plan these things. Lord, all they have to do, Lord, is wait upon you. Think upon you, Father, and thank you, Lord, for what you've done in their lives, Lord. But the best is yet to come in their lives, Father. Lord, you've got some things. You've deposited some resources. You've got some stuff inside of them that they haven't seen and that you're going to bring out, Lord God, at the appointed time, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord, for the gifts they are to the body of Christ, Lord. But you're going to bring out, Lord, a greater dimension in their lives, Lord, that you've invested in them, Lord. And they can rejoice, Lord, in the days to come, Lord. And we thank you. But you're not done with them in this year, in 2017, Lord. So I pray, Father, that thank you for the new prophetic sound and words that you have for them to give to the body of Christ, Lord. And they're going to be, Lord, those midwives that are going to help birth babies in the new thing you're doing, in the revival that you're bringing, Father. You're going to be, they're like the midwives, Lord, God. They're like those nurses in the room, at the hospital, Lord, that's seen a lot. You know, new people, new couples are coming in, and they're frantic and all that type of stuff. And they're like them wise people that's been around the hospital room and seen it all. And they're going to help birth some ministries. They're going to help birth some babies. They're going to help groom them and raise them up. And Pastor Roberts, he's a man's man, but he's a minister to where people can trust him. And he's going to be connected with ministries and not just people he knows, but there's a whole bunch of ministries out there that need to meet this man. Amen. Do we all agree? They need to meet this man. So we just thank you for that. Thank you for Marcia, Father. We just thank you, Father, that even though for me, I know it seems like she's been behind the scenes. Not here at this church. Everybody knows her and people know her, I'm sure. Many people know her. But, Father, I just pray, Father, that I just thank you for what she, the type of lady and ministry that you've given her, Father. And I just pray, Father, Lord, that as she ministers to even Robert, Father, Lord, that he listens to her, Father, and that, Lord, you're going to be that voice to her, Father, to even help keep him directed, Father, in the right place, Lord, as he continually goes out in front of your people, Father. So we thank you for her. Keep giving her, Lord, the prophetic word, Lord, and a new prophetic sound in her life too, Father. And Lord, I just pray for health in both of them to see this happen, Father. I pray for health in their bodies. Cover them by your spirit, Lord, so they can see the goodness of God in the land of the living, Lord. And their family, the heart that they have, Lord, there's some things in their heart that they have for, I don't know, children or sons or whatever it may be, Father, but they got a concern for them, Lord God. Let them release that concern to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And this is the last prayer. Just pray over Pastor Joseph. I just see Pastor Joseph. He like that father. You know how when you're having a child and he walking around, you know how, you know, waiting for that thing to be birthed. Have you ever been there, fathers? Have you been, what do they call that when you're waiting for your child to be born and you're in the room and whatever they call it, you know what I'm talking about. And he's kind of waiting, he's waiting. And this is before you knew what the child was going to be or whatever. But, you know, God just wants you to rest. Amen. He wants you to rest, Pastor. He has everything under control. Amen. You don't have to worry about doing his job. He just wants you to do what he called you to do. Be that servant. He's going to take care of every detail. He's going to manage everything that sometimes you may want to manage. But he's going to manage it. He's going to take care of it. He's going to bring the people. Well, he's the one that sets up things and the one that brings things. He brings people. He's the one that asks for the church. It's nothing that we do. It's what he does. So God wants you to rest on this new year. You're going to be known for rest. God's going to use the peace that passes all understanding. People look at you despite some of them might know what you're going through and different details of your life. They're going to see you and you're going to have so much peace because you turn it over to the one that never fails. And that all things will be together. I said, our mistakes, our sins, what people do, what our family do, all things work together for you. You love God, Pastor? All things work together. If you love God, it says, all things work together for those who love God, those who are called, those who are called. Okay. Jesus.
Thank you.